Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. As many of you know, we not only do a broadcast, we do a podcast as well. A brand new edition of Hank Unplugged, available at equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you consume your favorite podcasts. The last podcast was with Dr. Holly Ordway, who went from being a militant atheist professor to a cultural Christian apologist. And she joined me on Hank Unplugged to tell the story of her journey, as well as to share her powerful perspective on the role of imagination in apologetics. And if anyone ever displayed imagination in apologetics, it was C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and many others. Even, and perhaps most profoundly, the Apostle Paul, as well as the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. We talk about all of that and more on Hank Unplugged. Dr. Ordway is an accomplished author, a professor in the Department of Apologetics at Houston Baptist University. We make on the podcast a compelling argument for mere Christianity. In other words, an essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, all things charity, the necessity as well for Christians to be part of a church community in an age of individualism, you know, me and my Bible. The importance as well of avoiding militaristic mentality when practicing apologetics, and the grievous scandal of divisions within Christianity. Now, we ought to divide when it comes to the essentials, because we stand united around the essentials, but there's all too much division with respect to secondary issues. We also went on to talk about history and the historical view of the Eucharist. That was a very interesting part of the discussion, and what a world without objective moral standards would mean for the future of human civilization. Again, check out Hank Unplugged on the web at equip.org. Also, a quick note that I'm going to be in Collinsville, Illinois, speaking at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church at a Making the Case conference that takes place June 8th and 9th. Saturday, June 9th, I'll be making the case against Islam and making the case against the prosperity gospel as well. For registration and schedule, you can see the information at equip.org/events or go to issues.etc.org/2018conference. Again, that conference coming up in just about a month's time in Collinsville, Illinois. And again, that's only 15 miles east of St. Louis. The Making the Case conference. I'm looking forward to participating and making the case against Islam and against the prosperity gospel. Also, I've been wanting to do this for a couple of days, but I find a little break in the action. Do that right now. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And the thing I want to discuss is the Church of England being torn over plans by the Episcopal Church in the United States to efface the terms, catch this, the terms husband and wife. Not only that, references to procreation from its marriage liturgy, replacing the current wording in the Book of Common Prayer. And the new service removes the phrase union of husband and wife, and then has the temerity to replace it with the union of two people. It also replaces the section which talks about part of God's intention for marriage, and that is the openness to having children or procreating children. The Church of England's Bishop of Buckingham, Alan Wilson, actually supports the Episcopal Church revising their marriage liturgy in this way. An Anglican LGBT advocacy group, it's called One Body, One Faith, has also penned an open letter. It states that the Episcopal Church in the U.S. is courageous and Christ-like for changing the Book of Common Prayer. Of course, the Episcopal Church has engulfed itself in all kinds of aberrant theology of late, and all under the guise of becoming a radically inclusive church. And it, of course, has long now permitted LGBT clergy members and allows gay couples to get married. Nancy Piercy, in a podcast I did with her, talked about one of the insidious effects of this post-truth culture of confusion and how it actually is undercutting women's rights, because the new post-truth dictum is that the female body is a social construct, not a special category. And thus, by definition, we cannot protect women because we cannot identify specific categories of gender. We certainly cannot say a man and a woman anymore because there's gender fluidity. And what that means is that male-bodied trans women can use what were once referred to as the ladies' facilities or restrooms or showers, and on it goes. It is now politically incorrect even to use words such as men and women, in that some men identify as women and, of course, vice versa. Just the other day, I talked about a prison inmate named Jennifer, or Jasmine, formerly Dwayne Fox, who is suing the prison for not allowing her to practice her religion, which happens to be witchcraft or Wicca, in an all-male prison. Now catch this, the irony of all of this. Here you have a woman in an all-male institution, and the article about her refers to her as a her. Well, of course, the her is biologically a male. Now, if they were consistent with their paradigm, what would a female be doing in an all-male prison? So obviously, you see that the inconsistencies are rife because you simply cannot live consistently or pragmatically in a culture that denies biological realities. And every single day, we talk about women's issues and men's issues all the time while writing articles in which we are changing the pronouns and saying that if you don't use the changed pronouns, you're, of course, a very bigoted person. Once you basically redefine humanity as being sexless, you end up dehumanizing civil society. And the idea that there can be no legal mother or father or son or daughter or husband or wife without permission of the state is, at the face of it, absolutely incredibly obtuse. And Stella Morabito, senior contributor of The Federalist, has written about this eloquently. In the eyes of the state, biological sex is no longer a viable category. I mean, think about that. In the eyes of the state, no longer a viable category. Sexuality is no longer defined by biology. Rather, it is being redefined by subjective inner states of being. And so we've come up with all kinds of new language. And we have to become familiar with new words like cisgender, coined to communicate that when gender happens to align with biological sex, it happens to align by biological sex or with biological sex by pure chance. You think Aldous Huxley's classic novel Brave New World, written back in the 1930s, was outrageous? Well, it turns out that it wasn't far-fetched at all. Huxley, of course, depicted a tyrannical world government that treats categories as mother, father. Well, they were obscene. And what he was depicting in the novel has now become a reality. We're no longer citizens of even a brave new world, but citizens of bizarre new worldviews. And of course, organizations like the Christian Research Institute must continue to speak out, must never capitulate to the post-truth culture of confusion in which we live. I was thinking about a place that I lived. In fact, when we immigrated from Holland, we immigrated to Ontario, Canada, which has now issued the first non-binary birth certificate. We could never have imagined that that would happen back then when I lived in Canada. So here you have Canada's largest province issuing the first non-binary birth certificate. Joshua Ferguson is a classic case in point here. He identifies as neither male nor female, and therefore I can't even use the pronoun he. You have to use the pronoun they when you speak about Joshua Ferguson, if you want to be politically correct. It's a victory for the trans community, according to Ferguson, as he talked to reporters just 2 days ago. Ontario now provides several options for gender on birth certificates. In Ferguson's case, gender is denoted by a great big X, but petitioners can also have their gender removed altogether from official documents. In 2017, back in the U.S., California passed legislation to allow non-binary as an option for birth certificates, a law to go into effect this year, the year 2018. Nearly a year after Joshua Ferguson applied for their, notice the pronoun again, for their non-binary birth certificate, Ontario has granted the request. So we're in the culture capitulating to the new use of pronouns. We don't say he, we say there or they. The language is changing rapidly. It is hard to keep up. I remember just recently watching a television program, and you had an advocate for all of this, lecturing the world on how we have to use these pronouns, and she went through a whole litany of these pronouns. And while she was going through a litany of the pronouns, it became so complicated that she herself became confused. Of course, now I shouldn't be talking about she, I should have been talking about there or they. But anyway, this is a brave new world, a world in which we need always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. I'm laying out the facts. But remember, this is not about a we, they siege mentality against people who are trapped in lifestyles. It is a matter of being able to articulate a worldview that will liberate those very people so that they can experience life that is life to the full. This is the job. This is the commission that Christ has given us. So it's important for you to be educated, just as it is important for me to be educated, because if you are on the cutting edge of evangelism, you will, not might or could, but you will be driven into education. And this is how you become an ever sharper tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of making a difference while there is yet time. We have some great resources available for those who support the ministry. Of course, any one of my books personalized to you, a family member or a friend, when you join our support team, you can check that out on the web at equip.org. Also, for those who give this month, Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World. Have you ever thought about a more significant subtitle, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World? In this book, Abdu Murray points out how we have transitioned, in essence, from a postmodern culture to a post-truth culture. What does that mean? Well, it means that we have to learn how to do apologetics well, given the new realities of the culture in which we live, so that we can change the culture. I mean, you think about the cultures like Roman culture, changed by Christians who were once persecuted and thrown to the lions, but they believed in the resurrection and they changed the culture. What they did in the first century, we can do in the 21st century, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. A shout out to all of those who are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, and again, available to you as you support the ministry this month, Saving Truth by Abdu Murray. He was once a Muslim, now he's a great Christian apologist and writer. Check the book out on the web at equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
In his book, Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, Abdu Murray challenges Christians to consider how we have played a part in fostering a culture of confusion through bad arguments, unwise labeling, and emotional attacks. Followers of Christ must learn to defend the truth with accuracy and precision, and with gentleness and respect. To receive your copy of Abdu Murray's book, Saving Truth, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Increasingly, Western culture embraces confusion as a virtue and decries certainty as a sin. Those who are confused about sexuality and identity are viewed as heroes. Those who are confused about morality are progressive pioneers. Conversely, those who express certainty about any of these issues are seen as bigoted and intolerant. In Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, Abdu Murray responds to the confusion by offering gospel clarity that can touch the hearts and minds of those in our post-truth culture. To receive your copy of Saving Truth as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There is a mysterious resonance among the structure of the material world, the abstract world of mathematics, and the human mind. This three-part harmony has major implications for the contemporary debate between naturalism and theism. The sciences alone, however, are insufficient to illuminate this enigma. Other topics include The Handmaid's Tale, Human Dignity and Hope. Slaughterhouse-Five is a tool for Christian self-examination. Redeeming Princess Culture, Five Apologetics Lessons from the Writings of Martin Luther King Jr., and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today at the new discounted rate by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
There is no greater need in our post-truth culture of confusion than the clarification of truth. What truth is, how one can know truth, and most importantly, why we must submit our personal preferences to truth no matter the cost. Be sure to read Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World by Abdu Murray. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I have been talking about how we really look for tremendous resources to put into your hands. And of course, as Randy just mentioned, Abdu Murray's book is one of those resources titled Saving Truth. And as I've noted, in our current post-truth culture of confusion, a culture in which unfettered individual autonomy overrides objective facts, people are prohibited, sometimes forcibly, from speaking the truth. Recall that in a post-truth age, if the evidence fits our preferences, fits our opinions, then all is well and good. But if it doesn't, then the evidence is deemed inadmissible, even offensive, with personal offense being a kind of solvent against otherwise sound argumentation. And Abdu Murray, in his book, shows that this climate has arisen because we have mistaken autonomy for freedom. And while we typically understand freedom to be the power to exercise choice without constraint, freedom becomes chaotic. It becomes dangerous in a system without restraint. Freedom operates best within the confines of truth, but boundaries are foreign to pure autonomy. The word autonomy comes from two Greek words, the word self and law. So someone is autonomous if that someone is a law unto him or herself. And just as Adam and Eve looked for autonomy from God, so people in our current post-truth culture of confusion are seeking to transcend the purpose for which they were made so that they can be definers of their own personal purposes and preferences. And so again, this is why we are putting resources into your hands like the book Saving Truth, which explains that we approach knowledge the way teenagers approach parental authority. You've heard it. No one tells me what to think. We now equate genuine authority with, well, indoctrination or coercion, and so reject any intrusion on the pure slate of our autonomous minds. And so Abdu Murray correctly asks, when my law unto myself conflicts with another's law unto him or herself, what can arbitrate between us if not truth? When it's sacrificed as the burnt offering on the altar of autonomy, the resultant smoke chokes the breath out of freedom. Only chaos remains. And chaos, we've seen this historically over and over again, chaos leads to bondage. We lose not only the ability to reason clearly, but also the ability to act with moral clarity. When we become laws unto ourselves, when we become the measure of all things, then we become the determiner of which humans are valuable and which humans are not valuable. Homo sapiens simply are then not intrinsically valuable. Of course, we know better. We have intrinsic value and worth because we're created in the image and likeness of God. And yet, in our culture, we have Princeton University ethicist Peter Singer, who advocates for human babies after they have been born to be killed by their parents if their parents so desire. So it's no longer abortion during the entire length of gestation, but it is now abortion after birth. Singer, I think, allows something like 3 days. So you can look over the child and say, yes, this child is worthwhile. Yes, I like the hair color. Yes, I like the shape of the baby's eyes. Yes, the baby doesn't have Down syndrome. Yes, there are another thing that might be an object of concern for me in taking care of that baby. Here you have, and this is not a fringe person, although this is obviously a very fringe idea. This is a Princeton University ethicist. I mean, this is his field, ethics and mores. And yet, he is not alone. You have other medical ethicists. Francesca Minerva, who also advocates for a parent's right to kill a newborn baby born with infirmities if such would impose a hardship upon the parents. You have a whole country in the modern epoch that is proudly hailing the fact that they are now Down syndrome free. Imagine this. This is an entire country, the country of Iceland. And there are many others lauding what Iceland has done and following in Iceland's train. And so Murray, in his book Saving Truth, concludes that parents have the autonomy to end a baby's life because they have the authority to determine whether a baby's value justifies the burden of caring for it. And if that baby's value impinges on the parent's autonomy, then the baby can be eliminated. And this is the essence, says Murray, of unfettered human autonomy, to become as God is, but without the benefit of divine wisdom. We claim to be wise. We claim to be enlightened, but we are driving civil society into the proverbial ditch in our confused quest to elevate ourselves to deities. We have become devils. We've accommodated the most vulnerable members of our species. We've accommodated them to the spaces, the status of becoming commodities. They now are things to be used, to be assigned value to, or conversely not. So we have commoditized the most vulnerable members of our species and consume them as a burnt offering to self-appeasement. It's not fun to talk about these things, but quite frankly, we have to talk about these things, because if there is no God, we become gods ourselves. Determiners, arbiters of what is right and what is wrong. I think about a question that I get over and over again when I do the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I've done this broadcast for 30 years. Who made God? Well, when someone asks you that question, the idea is you are now stumped. Because if you can't answer the question, the atheist wins the argument by default. So the idea is that unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and eternal, and therefore we can say without equivocation that as an infinite, eternal being, God can logically be demonstrated to be the uncaused first cause. But there's more. To suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe must have had a cause simply leads to a logical dead end. Because simple logic dictates that a universe is not, well, it's not merely an illusion. The universe did not spring out of nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. And it has not eternally existed. We know via the law of entropy that there's a prediction that a universe that has eternally existed would have died of heat loss an eternity ago. And so we can say as Christians, in answer to the question, who made God, that the only plausible possibility that remains in an age of scientific enlightenment is that the universe was made by an unmade cause greater than the universe itself. I love what the prophet Isaiah said, speaking for the Lord. The Lord's words were on the lips of Isaiah, and he did speak. And so the Lord said, "You are my witnesses and my servant, whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be a God after me." The relevance of all of this is that we have become gods, though God said there will be no gods after me. We've become gods of our own universe. We are now saying at the very outset that when God made us man and woman, that God was wrong. That there are an infinite or virtually infinite number of gender possibilities. We are now saying that not only in the culture, but tragically, as I've demonstrated in the first segment of this broadcast today, we are now saying this, underscoring this in red, in the church, and that in marriage ceremonies. So what has happened? The church has capitulated to the culture. And in the midst of this milieu, you have to ask yourself, am I going to be silent? Or am I going to speak? Am I going to make a difference while there is yet time? You cannot change what happened in the last generation and may not be able to change what happens in a future generation, but you can make a difference today. And again, that's why we ask people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Indeed, a battle rages all around us. You can join us by simply going to the web at equip.org and give there in a safe, secure fashion, equip.org. We are coming to the station break. We'll be back after the station break with a quote of the day. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Please don't touch that dial.
Increasingly, Western culture defines personal freedom as whatever works. The result? People are more anxious, more fearful, and less happy than ever. In his book, Saving Truth, Abdu Murray sounds the alarm at the confusion being embraced and even celebrated around us, and equips followers of Christ to respond in love to people enmeshed in a post-truth mindset while holding steadfast to the essential teachings of the historic Christian faith. To receive your copy of Abdu Murray's book, Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Many feminists see the warped value system portrayed in Hulu's The Handmaid's Tale as a reflection of Christian and social conservative ideologies. In reality, the dominant secular worldview, with its idolization of sexual freedom and rejection of intrinsic human dignity, fosters in the actual world the very oppression seen in the series. Other topics include how the structure and comprehensibility of the universe reveal a mindful maker, five apologetics lessons from the writings of Martin Luther King Jr., kindergartners need apologetics too, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today at the new discounted rate by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Increasingly, Western culture embraces confusion as a virtue and decries certainty as a sin. Those who are confused about sexuality and identity are viewed as heroes. Those who are confused about morality are progressive pioneers. Conversely, those who express certainty about any of these issues are seen as bigoted and intolerant. In Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, Abdu Murray responds to the confusion by offering gospel clarity that can touch the hearts and minds of those in our post-truth culture. To receive your copy of Saving Truth as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Supporting the work of the Christian Research Institute is now as easy as sending a text message. Here's how you can help by texting your gift directly to CRI. To make a one-time gift to help equip fellow believers through the ongoing work of CRI, text TRUTH in all capital letters to 41444. That's TRUTH to 41444. To become a CRI support team member and make a difference on a regular basis, text STANDING in all capital letters to 91999. Again, that is STANDING to 91999. We do what we do here at CRI because life and truth matter. And all of our outreaches are made possible by people like you standing shoulder to shoulder with us to make a difference for now and for eternity. God bless you. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Peter Drucker. He is, he's the founder of Modern Management. He is the management guru. Written widely on the philosophical and practical foundations of modern business. He had this to say, and we ought to take in every single word. Peter Drucker writes, every few hundred years in Western history, there occurs a sharp transformation. We cross what has been called a divide. Within a few short decades, society rearranges itself, its worldview, its basic values, its social and political structure, its arts, its key institutions. And 50 years later, there's a new world. And the people born then cannot even imagine the world in which their grandparents lived and into which their own parents were born. We, says Peter Drucker, are currently living through just such a transformation. Now, he has identified what's going on. Now, the question once again becomes, do we simply curse the darkness, or do we, as we have been called to do, build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm? Just before the break, I answered the question, who created God, in concert with what I was saying about Saving Truth, the book available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. That question, a question asked by many people, including Lou from Red Bank, New Jersey. And Lou, I answered the question in the previous segment, but let me simply add the words of David in Psalm 90. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Another question came in on Facebook. Haven't taken any Facebook questions lately. Here's one from Jeffrey O'Brien, and he's asking whether there's a verse that tells us that we will know one another in heaven. In other words, will we recognize one another? And Jeffrey, the answer to that question, and everybody listening in, is that we can be absolutely certain that in heaven, we're not going to know less, we will know more, and therefore we will most certainly know not only family members and friends, but we will remember relationships that are going to be far more significant in the greatest size than they are even now. The Apostle Paul explains, now we see but a poor reflection. It's sort of like seeing in a mirror, says Paul, but then we'll know face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. But there's more, Jeffrey, and that is we can be certain that there's continuity between our present selves and our future eternal selves, because we will not be altogether other. Rather, we will be resplendently restored and redeemed in resurrection. And thus, in virtue of this continuity, we will, the emphasis, the operative word, will remember one another. Think about Jesus in the post-mortem appearances. What happened? Well, the disciples knew him. And we can be assured that we will know each other in resurrection as well. The Bible emphasizes intimate, personal fellowship. Indeed, Christ's fundamental command is that we love one another. He said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And such love and fellowship entails knowledge, knowledge that we will most certainly carry into eternity. And I think it's worth noting as well that even during the disembodied intermediate state, we will still know one another. Since the essence of a person is not reducible and therefore not known by physical appearance alone, true love and fellowship transcends the physical. Remember, when you were born, when your mother birthed you, you were born as a body-soul unity. That's the horror of abortion, by the way. That when you abort a child, you're not simply killing a body, but the soul leaves that body. The soul that was destined for life in the body now is absent the body. Of course, the glorious hope of the Christian faith is resurrection. But yeah, so the true love and fellowship transcends the physical. Even Peter, James, and John somehow knew Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Christ taught about that great feast attended by specific historical persons when he said, "I say to you that many will come from the east, from the west, and then they're going to take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." So Christ taught about this great feast attended by specific historical persons. Well, if we don't know one another, that feast would be a whole lot more nebulous than actually the names of those that are going to be part of the feast, attending the feast. We'll know Abram, Isaac, and Jacob in eternity. We will know each other. So we're living with relationships in the present that are not transient, temporary relationships. They're eternal relationships. If that is true, how then should we treat one another? Every single time you treat someone badly, remember, we're going to be spending eternity with that person. If that person is a believer, you will be together for all eternity. Remember also, for those who are not part of the kingdom of light, they're still part of the kingdom of darkness. You, by God's providence, you can be the change agent in that person's life. God has ordained the means as well as the ends. God has ordained to use human agency to reach this world, and therefore we have to be vigilant in the process. And unfortunately, instead of being vigilant as Christians and unified as Christians, making a transcendent difference for time and for eternity, we're all too often fragmented as Christians. And so we look at one another as though, if you don't agree with my particular tribal persuasions, you don't have part and parcel in my ministry. And so we fragment. That fragmentation means that there's toxic waste as opposed to purity within the body of Christ. It means that we have not as yet given an answer to the Lord's high priestly prayer, that we all might be as one around the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And in that vein, so many people will incorrectly critique others within the body of Christ. So if you're an Orthodox believer, well, they'll say, "Well, you know, you've embraced a crass system of works righteousness." But the truth of the matter is, that's a caricature of orthodoxy, and I've experienced that caricature myself. In truth, orthodoxy, in concert with Scripture, holds that it is by grace through faith that we are saved and not of works. In other words, they hold to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, just as all Christians do who hold to the essentials of the Christian faith. Faith for the Orthodox Christian includes good works, not because they earn salvation, but because they cooperated with divine grace, which does the work of transformation. Justification for Orthodox believers is actually being made righteous through the presence of God in us. And while Paul preaches against the efficacy of the Jewish law for salvation, he does not preach against good works themselves, nor does he hold good works to be in opposition to faith. It is not good works that transform, but it is God's grace that produces transformation. It is a life of faith and good works that cooperate with divine grace, the free gift of God. And throughout Scripture, synergy is seen in sanctification. Give you some examples. By grace through faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. By grace through faith in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, we sanctify ourselves. See this in the Old Testament, Leviticus. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Keep my decrees and follow them. I, the Lord, who makes you holy. Philippians 2, tells us that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Here again we see synergy or revelation, one of my favorites. The wedding of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. I bring all of this up simply to say, all too often on the basis of straw man arguments, we are fighting with one another unnecessarily, as though somehow or other we are separated on essential the Christian faith. Nothing could be farther than the truth. I think I might have mentioned this on the broadcast, but if I didn't, it bears saying, if not repeating. I was reading the Orthodox Study Bible the other day, a note at Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So note something about that. In the Orthodox Study Bible, it says, wages are something earned. Thus, death is earned by man through his sin. However, eternal life is never earned, but it is a gift. No human actions, this again is the Orthodox Study Bible, no human actions, no matter how good or noble that they may seem, can earn eternal life, for it is only through the grace and love of God that everlasting life is given to us. So again, let's unite around the essentials of the historic Christian faith, our motto, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, and do pick up a copy of Saving Truth. Simply go to the web and give in a safe, secure fashion there at equip.org. Out of here for today. See you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World by Abdu Murray. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There is a mysterious resonance among the structure of the material world, the abstract world of mathematics, and the human mind. This three-part harmony has major implications for the contemporary debate between naturalism and theism. The sciences alone, however, are insufficient to illuminate this enigma. Other topics include The Handmaid's Tale, Human Dignity and Hope. Slaughterhouse-Five is a tool for Christian self-examination. Redeeming Princess Culture, Five Apologetics Lessons from the Writings of Martin Luther King Jr., and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today at the new discounted rate by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Increasingly, Western culture embraces confusion as a virtue and decries certainty as a sin. Those who are confused about sexuality and identity are viewed as heroes. Those who are confused about morality are progressive pioneers. Conversely, those who express certainty about any of these issues are seen as bigoted and intolerant. In Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, Abdu Murray responds to the confusion by offering gospel clarity that can touch the hearts and minds of those in our post-truth culture. To receive your copy of Saving Truth as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI, and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.